And at this time, they're already going, but the kids can go for children's church. You know, thinking about what message that God wanted today, it's a difficult process sometimes to listen. Because how do you preach to a preacher? You know, it's an odd feeling. But God gave me one that not only would be for His benefit, but for all of our benefits. So today, as we begin, I want to really outline some building blocks for an effective Christian leader. You know, it's a good reminder, not only for our pastor and elders, but for those who lead various activities within the church ministries, the new small group leaders. But these dynamics can also, you know, they're very good for parents who are the leaders within their homes. You know, some people are natural leaders, and you know, you can recognize them. Some people, God calls to lead, and they go kicking and screaming. Marty started preaching Jonah today, or teaching. But I want to start with an illustration out of life that's kind of humorous, but to get your blood flowing a little bit. But some of you have been in the military. Raise your hands if you've been in the military. Veterans Day is coming up. Thank you. How many of you had a officer above you who was, you considered less than competent? I'm going to put it kindly. Have you ever done that? The lieutenant, right? You remember the lieutenant? Well, after I got out of the real Army, I went to college and spent some time in the National Guard. That was my part-time job in college. I only had to work one weekend a month, you know. And I had a lieutenant that, I'm going to put it kindly, he was an idiot. he was not a natural leader. He did not have any natural abilities. He was trying to hone them, but for him it was a power trip. And we were spending two weeks at Fort, we were in Virginia in the middle of the tick capital of the world for 2 weeks, sleeping on the ground. And you know how that goes. It never goes well. But through that week, the first week, the guys each and every day would complain more and more and more about this guy. But I was one of the sergeants under him. And, you know, they started complaining about him, but it's like, this isn't really right. And we're sitting there eating our, you know, delicious meals ready to eat out of a pouch. And I look down and there's a tick crawling up my arm, heading for who knows where. And I look at my guys and someone's pointed it out. And I looked at the guys and I ate it. Not much taste to a tick. They're not like daddy long legs. It tastes like peppermint patties. But what was accomplished, I accomplished more in that one random act of destruction than the lieutenant did in, you know, them guys would have followed me anywhere. And it changed the whole countenance and the dynamics of what happened over the rest of that week and the following week. The men entrusted to me and in that platoon, there was a radical change. And that's just because I did one random, stupid, dumb act. But imagine being a leader that instead of a random, dumb act, you listen to the Holy Spirit and get empowered that way. What can God do? So I want to really think about, you know, what are the pillars, some of the building blocks for a Christian leader. I want to start in John 18 and spend a little bit of time in John 18 and then go back into John 17. But I want to build the first building block for us here. I'm going to start John 18, beginning in verse 37. Then Pilate said to him, Jesus, "So you're a king." Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I've come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him." What we want to really think about and look at as we look at how we are fashioned as leaders, how God chooses us, how he uses us, is the fact that truth matters. And as a leader, whether it's in your family or in a vital ministry within this church or the church universal, we got to remember the truth. See, Jesus came, and as Jesus was on trial, actually what was on trial was the truth. And it was right in Pilate's face, and he didn't recognize it. And the importance that Jesus placed on this, we see back one chapter in John chapter 17, beginning in verse 14. And this being Jesus' high priestly prayer before he goes to trial and is crucified for us. And in his prayer, beginning in John 17, 14, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they're not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I've sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word." You know, looking at these two passages, it's pretty evident the truth is important to Christ. And as leaders, the truth is important to us. And I want to give you a couple ideas and some thoughts on that. Is, you know, first of all, it makes us responsible to the truth that we learn in the Scriptures. Because it does two things for the leader. You know, first, in that truth, it's one thing to know it, but it's another thing to understand and be able to discern the lies. You know, it's been said the best way to know a real $100 bill from a counterfeit is not to study the counterfeit, it's to study the real one. It makes it easy to spot the fake. So us as leaders in the home, in the church, we need to believe the truth of God and the truth of God's word. That's just half of it. You know, as we mature as leaders, there's a dynamic that really needs to take place. And it goes beyond knowing the truth. You know, there's a lot of people that know the truth. But as a leader, it becomes necessary and a paramount thing that you demonstrate that truth. You as parents, you know what I'm talking about. You tell your kids what to do, right? We tell them. Sometimes we don't always follow our own advice, do we? And what do we get in return? But. They know when we're not demonstrating what we're talking about. We give our teens parameters, which are the right things to watch, view, do. Do we demonstrate those same parameters? Do we as leaders within the church, do we demonstrate and live the truths that we're trying to impart, even as teachers? You know, are we living the things that we teach, or are we just paying lip service to the truth? So those are things that we need to look at. You know, as we pursue the truth, it brings maturity in our life. And as a leader, it matures us. And I tell you the truth, leaders are not born most of the time. Leaders are groomed oftentimes by the leaders, mentors they had ahead of them. The Holy Spirit as a leader in the church works within you. And it's a process. It takes a while. So as the truth comes into your heart, and you know, as you read and study the scriptures as a Christian leader, you know, our maturity, it grows as we not only understand the truth, but as we strive to demonstrate it. And seldom is there a shortcut to maturity. So as we work as leaders and as we work on this part, this pillar of who we are, this building block, you know, as we think about the truth, think about demonstrating it. You know, sometimes it's good to know why the truth is important. And the demonstration is key as a leader to showing that truth to others. You know, and I think something to know is, you know, people are watching in the church, outside the church. I think about some of the activities that some of the small groups, as they work on their service projects, people are leading those projects. And people in our community are seeing us as leaders within our community. So in knowing the truth and living this truth, it's going to make a difference. And alongside the knowledge of the truth and this leadership principle, there's another one that I want to really put up beside that one, two of the pillars that really hold up what we're looking at. And I want to look at Proverbs 29:18. Just one verse kind of stuck in that chapter. In the ESV, it says, "Where there's no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law." The New American Standard version of that says, "Where there's no vision, the people are unrestrained." And I really want to think about that. Is what is, as a Christian leader, it's oftentimes we're placed into, we may feel called to a ministry or an area that we want to lead or work in. And most of the time, we know what that is. Sometimes what we lack is the vision from God. And I want us to really think about that. The vision that God has, not only for this church, but for you individually as a leader, even as a parent, for your family, for your small group. What is the vision that God wants to cast for that? Because understanding the vision that God has, that gives us the why and the who. You know, as a Christian leader, it's not about programs. It's always about people. And it's always about the kingdom. Without vision that God cast for what he has for you, it's going to be ineffective. It's not going to work. You know, that's one thing that I do appreciate about Pastor Doug. I know his heart. I know how he seeks God's vision. And I will say that from the pulpit. I appreciate that as one of your fellow elders. And I know many of you in your ministries and in your small groups. And I just love seeing how some of these are starting and taking off. Because your vision that you get is, your vision has faces to it. God will always use that. So as we seek the vision of God, and that's something, you're going to know it. You know, God will give you the dream you cannot shake. He will give you the people you're to invite. And as a leader, it's so important. Because as that verse is saying, where there's no vision, the people are unrestrained. So think about that. If you have no vision as a leader, the people you're trying to lead, it's going to make no difference to them. If you're a teacher without a vision for what Christ has for that class or small group, it won't have the effectiveness that it should have. So seek out the Holy Spirit for that. He will give you that. You know, in this, some of you as leaders, I know even now with the small groups are getting your feet wet. You're bound to face some frustration. I guarantee you're going to face opposition. Pray against the enemy. Because you're going to find as a Christian leader, the more ground that you take for Christ, the more the enemy wants to take back. And so one of the things as we celebrate Pastor Appreciation Day, Clergy Appreciation Month, is to pray for our leaders. Because the enemy does not want them to be effective. We want them to be effective. And we have that authority to bring them up in prayer. But one of the things that especially as, you know, those of you who are becoming leaders, and this is also pertinent for those who will be the future leaders of this church. You know, I think about the teen pew sitting here. Someday you will be the leaders, or even the kids in children's church. There's one last verse I want to share here, and that we have to be careful in this, and that's Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. You know, one of the temptations as a leader is to start to follow the group. Some people might think that's group dynamics, and sometimes that's not the case. Sometimes we'll be tempted not to teach the hard things. You know, I think over months past how Pastor has taught over some of the hard things. He didn't skip them. When we fear man more than God, we will become ineffective as a leader. We've got to fear God more than man. And so as we think about that dynamic, you know, the one that we are accountable to is God as a leader. And as we think about this and start to draw, you know, some of these things to a conclusion, you know, I think of the fact that as a Christian leader, it's not about you. It's about the kingdom. If you're here today as a Christian leader, if you become a Christian leader because you think you are something, you're in the wrong place. It's like the more I know Jesus, the dumber I get. And he uses that. Don't be afraid to be dumb. Right, Marty?
Amen.
Okay. But it's true. The bigger God gets, the smaller we get. And some of the most effective Christian leaders and preachers and evangelists I know are the ones that are probably the most humble. Because they know from where their strength comes from. They know it's from the Lord. You know, and kind of wrapping things up, I want to kind of look at a short list of what would happen. What would happen when we actually believe the truth of God and we let it penetrate our very soul? What would happen in our life as a leader? What would happen when we really learn to demonstrate the power and effectiveness of the Holy Spirit in our lives? What would happen when we genuinely seek the Lord for His vision in the area we're leading and actually obey it? And lastly, what would happen if we stand firm in God's authority and fear Him and not man? You know, as we live our lives as Christian leaders, you know, whether it's the pastor or the elders, teachers, parents, you know, what a privilege we get by being used of God. What a joy. And I want to finish with one saying that I heard this past week. When one leader stands, others gain backbone. I heard that this past week, James Dobson started a new radio ministry. It's much smaller than Focus on the Family, and Nan had told me to download these podcasts, and this hit me like a ton of bricks. When one man stands, when one person stands, others around them gain backbone. Our job as a Christian leader is to stand firm with a spine, and when we do that, others will find theirs. You see, the purpose of Christian leadership isn't that when you're done, the vision dies. Your job as a Christian leader is to bring up the next leaders. Show them how to do it. Live the truth. Demonstrate it. Seek God's vision. Live it out. And don't fear man. It works. Those dynamics will make you an effective leader. It'll make you effective in the ministry that God's called you to. You know, and today as we come together, it should be a good reminder, Pastor, of the things that are really important. And for us as the other leaders within this church body as well. Amen? Father, we thank you for this time we could share together. And Lord, we thank you that our vision for leadership within this church body does not come from man, but from you. Lord, as we look over this congregation and we look over the years in our past, Lord, we can see how you have built the leaders within this church. You've brought some, you've taken some away, you've moved some around, but Lord, you've always multiplied them. You've always multiplied our effectiveness. And Lord, as the leaders of this church, Lord, we seek that. Lord, we pray for our church family and for our small groups. Lord, that you would give us the vision that you have for us and the vision for reaching our community. Lord, give us a vision that expands your kingdom. But Lord, always a vision that brings others to you. Help us to stand firm with the backbone we need, Lord, by fearing you and not man. Lord, and I lift up Pastor Doug. Lord, we pray that he, as he seeks your vision, Lord, that you would speak clearly and that Pastor would hear clearly. Lord, help us as a congregation to understand what you're trying to do and to come alongside our pastor and our leadership, Lord, in a way that enhances your kingdom, Lord, and can bring the most number of people into it. Lord, we thank you for how you've blessed us. Lord, we are grateful for leaders past and, Lord, leaders present, and Lord, we look forward to the leaders that will be here in the future as long as you tarry. And Lord, we just pray for them. Lord, make us one in purpose and Lord, in direction. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen.